This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Now to another ongoing reality of the pandemic. The people who get COVID and survive and then are still battling the virus, it seems, months or even years later. How many people with long COVID are in Illinois and the country depends on whom you ask and how you even define long COVID. More than 3 years into the pandemic, there are still not clear answers, but we do have estimates. In a survey released last month, the Census Bureau and the National Center for Health Statistics asked respondents whether they ever had any symptoms of COVID that lasted longer than 3 months. And the latest estimate from that survey is that 15% of all adults in the U.S., all adults, have dealt with long COVID at some point. What that looks like depends on the individual. Some might deal with an ongoing cough. Others may be dealing with so many symptoms that their life has been upended by this experience. And now some of the latest research from right here in Illinois suggests many people who were not able to get tested at all early in the COVID pandemic, remember when testing was not available? Or maybe they tested negative at first. They may still have long COVID anyway. Dr. Igor Kalralnik oversaw that research as chief of neuroinfectious diseases and global neurology at Northwestern Medicine. He also oversees Northwestern's Neuro-COVID-19 Clinic, and he's co-director of Northwestern's Comprehensive COVID-19 Center. He joins us now to talk about what we've been learning about COVID-19 and what there is still to find out. Dr. Kalralnik, welcome to the 21st Show.
Brian, thank you very much for inviting me. Good morning to all.
Thank you for being here. And I want to start with the Neuro COVID-19 Clinic. Just briefly, give us an understanding of the work the clinic does, especially as it pertains to people dealing with long COVID.
Certainly. So the Neuro COVID-19 Clinic opened in May 2020 at Northwestern because we understood from news coming from China that hospitalized patients with COVID-19 had some neurologic problems, and we saw that also in our population here at Northwestern during the first month of the pandemic. We did a retrospective study of the first 500 patients who were hospitalized, and we found that about 82% of them had some neurologic problem during their hospitalization for COVID pneumonia. And so we opened the clinic because we thought that we had to be ready to take care of those patients once they are discharged from the hospital. But in fact, that was not the main population of patients that we saw in the clinic. The main population still to this day are those who had mild initial COVID-19, sore throat, cough, or a bit of fever that went away, but then thereafter developed persistent, lingering, and debilitating manifestations that are now known as long COVID. And in terms of neurologic problems, those patients complain mainly of brain fog, which is a colloquial term given by the patients to describe their problem with cognition, with memory, with attention, with ability to work in their current job description. They have also headache, problem with smell and taste. They have dizziness, muscle pain, numbness, tingling, and also ringing in the ears and blurred vision. And we see that this really affects their quality of life, and we can measure that they have cognitive disabilities or dysfunction, which prevents them to work in their current job description.
So we need to take a break in about a minute and a half here, but briefly, what can treatment for this look like, especially bearing in mind that this obviously affects people in a lot of different ways?
Sure. So we have seen now more than 2,100 patients in the NeuroCOVID clinic and about 4,000 patients in the Comprehensive COVID Center at Northwestern Medicine, taking care for all aspect of long COVID. And so we can treat those patients symptomatically for their headache, for their fatigue, for their pain, but we also have developed a unique cognitive pipeline, which we are using to first diagnose their brain fog, what it is all about, and, you know, after that, treat them with cognitive rehabilitation with our colleagues at Shelley Ryan Ability Lab across the street. And we can talk more about it after the break, if you
will. Yes, great timing on your part. All right, we are going to take a break. Let me invite our listeners to join us, especially if you have questions about long COVID. Maybe you've even dealt with it or you know somebody who's experienced it. We would love to hear what that's been like, how it's affected your life. The number to call is 800-222-9444. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can send us an email. The address is talk@21stshow.org. We're going to be talking about this for the next 15 minutes or so, the rest of the show today. Our guest is Dr. Igor Karolnik, who oversees a lot of research into long COVID as chief of neuroinfectious diseases and global neurology at Northwestern Medicine, as well as he's co-director of Northwestern's Comprehensive COVID-19 Center. Again, the number to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are inviting you to join our conversation for the next 10, 15 minutes or so. 800-222-9455 is the number. We are talking about long COVID. There have been a lot of people. There was a recent survey from the Census Bureau and the National Center for Health Statistics that found that 15% of all U.S. adults had dealt with some version, some symptoms of COVID that lasted longer than 3 months during this pandemic. We're talking about all this with Dr. Igor Karolnik, who oversees research into COVID-19 as chief of neuroinfectious diseases and global neurology at Northwestern Medicine. I should say oversaw research specifically into people who had not tested positive for COVID early in the pandemic, but may still have long COVID anyway. And Dr. Karolnik, let me ask you about that. This is one of the biggest details that the neuroclinic evaluated patients, that they didn't have this confirmed COVID diagnosis. Not every long COVID treatment group out there in the country took that policy. What was behind that decision?
Certainly, it's a very good question. We understood early during the pandemic the limitation of testing for COVID-19, because if you remember, if you were in March 2020 having symptom of COVID, but we were not hospitalized with pneumonia, you couldn't get tested. And some people in different geographic location didn't have really access to testing anyway. And if they could be tested later on, maybe they tested negative, despite the fact that they had the exact same symptoms of COVID-19, because they were not shedding virus at that time in their nasopharynx. And so because of that, we made the conscious decision to accept people in our clinic who did not have a positive test. And at the beginning, the first few months, about half of the population of the clinic were the COVID-negative long haulers. And those patients telling us at that time that they've been rejected, stigmatized, you know, sometimes gaslighted by other establishment because they didn't have a positive COVID test and they couldn't even be seen. So the research that we published recently was to look in the blood of those patients whether they had some immunologic signature, a thumbprint, if you want, that they actually had been exposed to the virus. And in a small group of patients that we tested retrospectively, we found that 41% indeed had some evidence that they had been exposed to the virus SARS-CoV-2 that caused COVID-19. And if you estimate that during the first year of the pandemic, about 10 million people were in this predicament, they got COVID, they developed long COVID, but they could not ever get a positive diagnosis test of COVID-19, that means that 40% of them means 4 million, approximately 4 million people who should actually feel vindicated by our findings.
What does that mean for how your colleagues in health professions should approach potential long COVID diagnosis?
Well, you quote the study that 15% of all adults in the U.S. had been, you know, had developed long COVID. So if there are 260 million adults in the U.S., 15% is about 39 million people. So it's a huge number of people. And if you add to those maybe the 4 million additional who actually have long COVID but then never got a positive COVID diagnosis, that means that there is a very large unmet need in the U.S. currently for centers and clinic and providers to take care of those patients. So what we say is that those people, whether they have a positive COVID diagnosis, if they have long COVID symptoms, they deserve the same access to care than those who have, you know, long COVID and a positive diagnosis. And they also deserve to be included in research studies on long COVID, which is what we're doing here at Northwestern.
All right, let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Bonnie is calling from DeKalb. Bonnie, thank you for calling in. Bonnie, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello, Bonnie. Thank you. Sorry, we are in a transition period with our phone system, so there may have been a little digital hiccup there, but thank you for calling in. I understand you have a question about POTS or P-O-T-S.
Right. So my niece has suffered from that for many, many years. And then within the last couple of years, she had two bouts of COVID. The first one didn't seem to affect her any more than, you know, it came and it went. But the second one has left her for, it's almost been a year maybe since she continues to have a brain fog. She's even more susceptible to other infections. It's just really, you know, thrown her body for a loop more so than what she had with POTS already. So have they studied any interactions with people who have had these kind of immune compromised illnesses and then have COVID on top of that?
Yeah, and I'll put that question to Dr. Karamik in just a minute. But I do want to ask you, was she able to get, healthcare professionals to take her concerns seriously? Was that a struggle for her at all? We may have muted, but so I guess Dr. Kronlick, let me just ask you if you can address Bonnie's question there about the interaction potentially between POTS and, you know, its interaction with COVID.
Certainly. So for the listener, POTS is a postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. When people are in upright position, they become tachycardic and they may have some other symptoms that they have to deal with, which is fairly debilitating, occurs in young people and did occur before COVID-19, you know, came about. But we see that some people who didn't have POTS before COVID now develop, you know, this syndrome. We see people who had it before COVID now have a worse case of POTS. We see also people who had headache before COVID who now develop intractable migraine or headache after. So it seems that COVID can amplify or worsen some issues, some medical issues that people had before COVID. And this would be treated the same way as, you know, if they didn't have COVID in the first place, but may need some longer type of treatment, different medication, and we see those patients in the cardiology clinic of the Comprehensive COVID Center here at Northwestern.
So broadly speaking, how has our understanding of long COVID changed over the past few years?
All right. So long COVID in all post-COVID clinic that I know of seems to affect more frequently women than men. We see that in our population, it's about 65 to 70% female. And why is it the case? Well, we know that women are more likely than men to develop autoimmune diseases, such as multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and so on. And we think, and others as well, that long COVID is a new autoimmune syndrome, which is caused by the virus confusing the immune system, that something is wrong in the body that needs to be attacked. It is possible that this confusion is caused by persistence of the virus in the body of some people, triggering this persistent state of inflammation. And we see that in the population of the clinic, there is a higher frequency of people who had autoimmune diseases before COVID compared to the U.S. population. So it seems that there is a autoimmune predisposition for people to develop long COVID, and this is why it's happening more frequently in women than men.
How have you seen demand at the clinic evolve over the past few years?
Well, We didn't know what to expect when we opened the clinic in May 2020. It was just, you know, advertised on a web page at Northwestern, like any new clinic. It was just me and a neuroimmunology fellow staffing the clinic. Before we knew, the clinic was booked 2.5 years in advance, and so we had to increase, you know, the number of providers, nurses, residents rotating the clinic. And so there has been a steady state of new patients coming to the clinic. During the COVID-19 emergency, we were able to do televisit in the entire United States without having to be licensed in all those states. I personally saw patients in televisit in 44 states in the U.S. Anybody who had access to a phone or a computer could come to see us in clinic without having to have a positive test or without the need for physician referral. Now that the COVID-19 emergency has ended, people have to come in person or in televisit within the state of Illinois. But despite that, we still see a steady number of new patients coming to the clinic every month. We are onboarding a new advanced practice provider nurse today, actually, to help us see patients in the clinic. And we are going to see this number of patients for the foreseeable future because of the presence of new variants, people getting infected first, second, third, fourth time, and then developing long COVID along the way, unfortunately.
So just about 4 minutes left in our conversation together. I guess if someone suspects they're dealing with long COVID, but maybe they haven't gotten or haven't been able to find care to address that, what advice would you give?
Well, they should seek help first with their primary provider, their PCP. If they live in an area or a state where there is a post-COVID clinic that is still open, they should seek care there, either in person or in televisit. And if it's not the case, then unfortunately they're going to have to travel to other places where they can, you know, get the care that they deserve. People should really realize that long COVID has become a pandemic within the pandemic. It's not going away. And it may even evolve with time with the new variants coming up. We are going to be there to care for them at Northwestern Comprehensive COVID Center if they want to come to see us. We have now 13 specialty clinics, including neurology, pulmonology, cardiology, gastroenterology, and so on, for the total care of those patients. Many other states have such clinics, and patients should really not be shy to seek care in those areas.
And I guess the last thing I want to ask you about, and this is kind of big picture, and it gets at what you were talking about, if people can't find the care where they live. We've heard this for a long time from people with diseases such as chronic Lyme disease or chronic fatigue syndrome, where there are some health providers who just don't really believe that those are actual things. I wonder what the implications are of your work for other conditions in which people have had a hard time getting care.
So we have patients in the clinic who had chronic fatigue syndrome before COVID and now develop a worse case of fatigue. 80% of the patients that we see in the clinic have fatigue because of long COVID. Chronic fatigue syndrome is a condition that sometimes seems to be triggered by an infection. It could be mono, it could be different type of infection before the fatigue starts, but this infection has never been, you know, determined, and there may be many different type of infection that lead to that. With COVID, we know that SARS-CoV-2 is causing the infection, and we know that the patients develop long COVID after the fact. So by having this known pathogen and seeing patients over time, we hope that what we can learn in the laboratory, which we're doing here at Northwestern, will help us understand not only long COVID, but also what may happen in other conditions such as chronic fatigue syndrome. And we are actively researching the root cause of long COVID here in my laboratory and in others at Northwestern.
Dr. Kralnick, thank you so much for sharing your work with us today on the 21st Show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Igor Karelnik is chief of neuroinfectious diseases and global neurology at Northwestern Medicine. He also there oversees the NeuroCOVID-19 clinic and is co-director of the Northwestern Medicine Comprehensive COVID-19 Center. And that is all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a pair of interviews with people doing interesting things out in the world. First up is the host of the PBS Nature podcast, Going Wild. She is a specialist in bears, and so we're going to be talking with her about that, as well as the work she's been getting to do there on that podcast. And then also we'll talk with a young inventor from Byron, Illinois. She's a college freshman, but she's already trying to make a difference in something called the global identity crisis. What is the global identity crisis, you're asking? Well, tune in tomorrow to find out. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.